And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is communicating. All of my guests are talking about communicating a message in one form or another. My first guest let her life's accomplishment communicate for her. Known best as Jennifer Hart in the 1980s TV series Heart to Heart, Stephanie Powers and I talked about her memoir, One from the Heart. My second guest is a recovering vice president of marketing for two publicly traded technology companies. He was an unabashed technologist who knows how to use the internet to instantly engage a market, connect with customers, and create products and grow a business now. We discussed his latest book, Real-Time Marketing and PR. My next guest understands how to interpret and use nonverbal signals in business to assess and influence others. We'll discuss how to take your career from average to exceptional with the hidden power of nonverbal intelligence from his latest book, Louder Than Words. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Joe Navarro is a 25-year veteran of the FBI counterintelligence specializing in nonverbal communications. Today, he lectures internationally and consults with Fortune 500 companies, as well as the FBI, the U.S. State Department, and other members of the intelligence community. He frequently appears on major media such as Hardball with Chris Matthews, The Today Show, The CBS Early Show, CNN, and Fox News. Interestingly enough, in 1961, when Joe was 8, the Bay of Pigs invasion happened 6 miles from his home in Cienfuegos, Cuba, and he and his family fled to Miami. Today he lives in Tampa, Florida, and he joins us from that city. Joe, welcome. How are you today?
It's great to be here, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, particularly somebody who is so well-known and an expert, a thought leader in this area. So break it down for us, first of all. What percentage of what people hear actually comes from the words, and what percentage comes from the nonverbal cues?
Great question, and the number will astound you. We used to think it'd be around 50%, but we now know that somewhere around 60 to 80, sometimes even 90% of all interpersonal communication is nonverbal.
Wow. I mean, that's a staggering number.
It's a staggering number, and of course, it varies depending on the circumstances. If you're on a date, most likely all of the communication is in the 90 percentile, including, chemically, the release of pheromones and so forth, and certainly nonverbal. And but even in a technical meeting, it's usually at least 50% of that is nonverbal.
Well, it is Friday, and we'll talk about dates in just a few minutes, but we'll come back to that. But the starting point in all nonverbal communications is what you call personal curbside appeal. So first of all, what is personal curbside appeal, and why is it so important?
Well, you know, I heard that when I was selling my house a few years ago, and I thought to myself, you know, we humans have personal curbside appeal. I mean, how do we make decisions about who we want to be with and associate with? How are we perceived the minute we walk through a door? And as I did more and more research, came to realize that so much of the decisions we make about who we're going to marry, who we're going to date, who we're going to hire are really based on what we communicate, what we sort of exude nonverbally to each other.
All right. So help me to improve my curbside appeal. What should I be looking at? I mean, should I open up my spaces, you know, put in some furniture, paint myself a neutral color? What should I do?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously there's a business needs to look at, how the business looks from the outside. We know that, when the windows are dirty, people won't go in there. We know that when there's not enough lighting, there was experiments done in the 80s with gas stations, and they found that even if you raised the price but increased the amount of lighting and people felt more secure, that people would go in there. So you can do that. But on a personal level, you know, are you wearing clothes that were in vogue 15 years ago? Are your shoes up to the task, or are they scuffed? Are you dressing for the job that you aspire to have, or are you dressing for the job in which you find yourself now?
Oh, come on, Joe! Not that old saw about the shoes make the man. Is that truly true?
Well, you know, here's what's interesting. We looked at a place where decisions are made, and it's the courtroom. And, you know, during a trial, jurors are not allowed to talk about the merits of the case. They can talk about everything else until the case goes to the jury. So we listened to the kinds of things that they talked about, and what we found was everything from hair color to length of nails to food on pies, all these things were being talked about during the trial, and these things left impressions on these individuals, which later affected how they made decisions. And yes, unfortunate, it's still how we look.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's the old adage, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. But, Joe, let me ask you, from your professional opinion, does a good first impression depend on the social context? In other words, is a good first impression different in a business setting than it is on a first date?
Well, it is, because, you know, many times, you know, what's expected at each one. Now, in business meeting, one of the things that we're constantly assessing for is competence and skill, and that may not be necessarily what we're looking for in a dating situation. In a dating situation, and in both situations, we may be looking at things such as, well, you know, is this a person we want on our team, or is this the person that I want to hang out with and introduce to my parents, or whatever. But in a hiring situation or in a job situation, there's that other element of skill and competency. And when you think about somebody like Colin Powell, who looks very competent, very self-assured, and so forth, it's all about nonverbals. It's not what he says. It's how he presents.
It's his military bearing as a general. Sure.
Well, exactly.
Joe, in your book, which is titled Louder Than Words, I mean, you explain the role of nonverbal communications really strikes a delicate balance between helping to make the person feel comfortable or not making them feel uncomfortable when dealing with a person. So talk to me about that balance. What are some of the nonverbal things that you can use to help a person feel more comfortable around you?
Well, one of the things that they can do is immediately say to themselves, look, if I feel uncomfortable, there's a reason for it, and not try to hide it because, you know, or suppress it, but deal with it from a mature standpoint. And then adopt some of the behaviors that we see in some of the great leaders so that we can mirror these behaviors. That's the beauty of mirroring, is it's a shortcut to, oh, you know, yeah, I remember when I was, you know, you mentioned 1961. Well, in 1962, I was looking at Cary Grant movies, and I thought, you know what? I like the way he looks. I like the way he carries himself. And obviously, a lot of people do. And one of the easiest ways is to find, you know, these characters and mimic their behaviors, because they portray, you know, a person that who is confident and so forth. And, you know, one of the easiest ways to do that is confident people have smooth gestures and manners. They're not erratic. They're not out of control. They're very measured. And that's something that we can obviously all work on.
All righty. We're talking to Joe Navarro, everybody. And, Joe, I wanted to, you mentioned the Cary Grant movies and being able to watch him on the screen and how truly effortless he was. But can you really, what can you learn by simply watching a person on videotape or on the television? Can you really, like in the TV, can you look at somebody who's on television and say, wow, he's lying, or he's not telling the truth, or he's uncomfortable in that situation? How can you assess just by the nonverbal cues?
Well, I think television makes everything look too easy. In 25 years of in the FBI, and after about 10,000 interviews, I can tell you it's very difficult. So one of the things that I looked for was not were they being deceptive, because I assume most people would be, but rather are there any questions that I ask that causes discomfort? And in the book, as you've probably seen, I talk about the woman who every time I asked her, her son was a fugitive, and I said, well, is he in the house? And she immediately covered up the small of her neck. That led me to, you know, to obviously think, oh, he's probably there, because we only do that behavior when something bothers us, the touching of the neck. And sure enough, he was hiding in the closet. So it's, I look for behaviors to show discomfort. And then I have to, you know, wonder, well, why does my question cause you discomfort? Is it because you have guilty knowledge? Are you hiding something, or is there an issue?
All right. Well, Joe, now I mentioned at the outset that you come from Cuba. You left there when Fidel Castro took over. So you're correct. Definitely aware of multicultural differences. Mm-hmm. How much of this nonverbal communication is cultural specific? And let me give you, for instance, in Asia, it's rude to show the bottoms of your feet. So businessmen who go over there across their legs, they offend Asian sensibilities when they see the soles of that business person's shoes.
Sure.
How much of this is cultural?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, and in my books, I emphasize those behaviors that are universal. They're governed by the limbic side of the brain, which control our emotions and our survival. But you ask a good question, and culture does affect it. I'll give you a great example. We crinkle our nose upward when somebody hands us a dirty diaper. We go, ew, right?
Right.
Now in America, if we're eating and somebody brings us a plate of food and we don't like it, we can do that behavior, but it's very small. Now, if you go to Brazil, for instance, that behavior can be exaggerated. So it's the same behavior, but in our country, it's shorter and it's minuscule, and in other countries, it can be expanded on. So what we see around the world is we tend to see these limbic behaviors around the world. They're just shown a little differently.
All right. Well, let's stay on this subject, Joe, of limbic behaviors. I mean, can you give us some methods that we can use to know if the person that we're communicating with is being honest with us or not?
Yeah. For every question that's asked, one of the things that I look for is, you know, do I see indicators of discomfort? So do I see, for instance, the compressed lips? Do I see any neck touching? With the men, do I see any ventilating behavior? So like Rodney Dangerfield used to pull on his neck or on his collar, any kind of ventilating behavior. I look for things such as blocking of information with the eyes. For instance, you'll ask somebody, where were you last night? And all of a sudden, their eyelids come down or they cover their eyes with their hands. Now, here's something that's fascinating. Most people don't know. Children who are born blind, when they hear things they don't like, they actually cover their eyes and they've never seen.
Wow.
So this is millions of years old, and it's a very accurate behavior that I didn't like that question. And of course, the question is, why? Why don't you like the question? And so those are the kinds of things I look for. And, you know, and we all do some form of due diligence, whether we're trying to find out if the repairman is being honest with us or if that's the best, you know, price that we can get for a car. So we look for these behaviors to say, there's something there. I need to pursue it.
All right. We're talking to Joe Navarro. His book, Louder Than Words, Take Your Career from Average to Exceptional with the Hidden Power of Nonverbal Intelligence. And, Joe, I want to stay on the subject of the eyes because in television, again, we're going to go back to television, but they make it seem so simple that if a person's lying, their eyes go down. If they're thinking, their eyes go up. And if they're telling the truth, their eyes stay level. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. In fact, you know, our eyes will move in a certain direction depending on what we're focusing on or what we're thinking about. But, you know, here's the trick to this. If the person begins to question or ponder what you're going for or what you're thinking about, their eyes will go in a completely different direction. I tell people that there is absolutely no science behind these postulations that if you look up and to the left, you're telling the truth, and down, you're telling a lie. There's just no science to support that whatsoever.
All right, you just dispelled a myth for people going into the weekend. So let me ask you sort of the reverse of that. If you're trying to develop and see if a person is a caring person, what are some attributes that they would exhibit, some of the limbic behaviors, as you call them?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, because when we care, for instance, we tend to touch with our full hand rather than our fingertips. We know that when relationships are breaking up, people will touch less, and when they do touch, they touch with their fingertips instead of their full hands. When we're around people that care for us, the lips tend to be full and warm. When we withdraw our affections, the lips get narrower and they get colder, and obviously you feel that during intimacy and so forth. There tends to be more hip touching. For instance, couples, when they get along really well, you'll see that their hips touch more. When they don't, they'll actually lean against each other at the shoulder level, but their hips won't go near each other. There's more intimacy with the feet, literally footsies. When people care for each other, they'll be more foot contact. The minute relationships start to strain, we withdraw the feet. And those are some of the ones. So, you know, when things are good, you'll see a lot more, you know, foot touching, hip touching, palmar touching of the hand and so forth.
All right. We're talking to expert Joe Navarro, his book, Louder Than Words. Joe, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Louder Than Words?
I guess number one is that, you know, all body behaviors are governed by the brain, and that these are now pretty well defined, that we really know what the body is saying, and that we need to pay attention to what we transmit and what other people are transmitting to us that may not be spoken, but actually may be more accurate.
All right. And let me ask you, too, what did you get out of writing the book, Joe?
I think the best thing that I got out of it is I got to indulge myself in the latest research on body language and, you know, found some fascinating things about human behavior that even today I still find fascinating.
Well, good. We're talking to Joe Navarro, author of the book Louder Than Words, Take Your Career from Average to Exceptional with the Hidden Power of Nonverbal Intelligence. And Joe, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, the easiest way is to go to Joe Navarro, as one word, .net, or they can go to Amazon and type in my name, Joe Navarro, and I have about 11 books out there, and they're welcome to look at those, too.
And that's Joe Navarro, N-A-V-A-R-R-O, .net, for the website, and then on Amazon as well. Joe, it's a delight. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill. You asked great questions.
Oh, thanks so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you soon.